One moment, Prince Charles is saying, I'm going to sneeze, he's not saying that. Hi, I'm Jenny, and welcome to Writing Lessons From, where every week I break down a story I've consumed, usually a TV show or a film, because that's how I roll, and figure out what the writing lessons are that we can take from it to improve our own writing and storytelling craft. And this week, we're looking at Mary and George. Yes, hello, welcome to another episode of Writing Lessons From. Now, I have got the lurgy, which I think just encompasses every virusy thing going around. My husband brought it home with him when he went away for the weekend. He's had it. He's fine now. That's great. So now I've got it. I have no idea. I have no idea how I'm sounding. My ears are quite blocked, but I can hear that there is, I know my voice doesn't sound right. So just off the bat, I'm not well. But I'm really excited to share this with you. Mary and George is something very different to what I normally watch, and I really enjoyed it. So let's just get on with it. Yeah. Before I do that, if you enjoy this, please hit follow. Please leave a rating or review. Come and join the mailing list. Share with your friends, your storytelling friends. Those are all things that are completely free to do. They take seconds, and they show me that this podcast is worth continuing, quite honestly. Writing a piece of fiction based on true events is difficult. I have tried it. It's really hard. Writing that piece based on vague historic information sort of makes it a little bit easier. Do we know what this king got up to in his spare time 4 centuries ago? No, but we can certainly make some guesses from the written records of the time and have some fun filling in the gaps. It's what makes historical fiction so interesting, separating fact from fiction and deciding how the two can work together to create a great story. There's a lot of information involved in writing historic fiction, however. So many dates and facts and people with all their relationships and individual histories that you can't just make up on the spot. There is so much research involved. And sometimes I wonder if all that research can just get in the way. I'm going to be talking about Mary and George as a whole rather than a specific point. So from here on, there are big old spoilers for the whole of Mary and George. It is available. Now, I don't understand how Sky works. So it's available on Sky, Sky Atlantic, I think. But Sky Showcase kept coming up while I was watching it. And you can get it on Now TV, right? I don't know. Wherever you get Sky, you can probably find Mary and George. Mary Villiers, who is played brilliantly by Julianne Moore, needs to secure her and her children's futures after discovering her awful husband left her with nothing after his death. She rests her main hope on her second son, George, and his beautiful looks. It's known that King James I had male lovers, and if George can become one of his favourites, the family will be saved. First, George must be trained in how to behave in a royal court, and then he must catch the attention of the king. Once he does, he becomes a target, however, for the Earl of Somerset, who is the king's current favourite. Thankfully, manipulative Mary helps sort the problem of Somerset by, you know, getting him executed. We follow Mary and George as they rise higher and higher through the ranks until George speaks through the king and can convince the king to do as he wishes, and as Mary secures the futures for her other children. We follow the story all the way through to James's illness and death, and then how George must develop a new relationship with James's heir and the new king, Charles. Charles I. Feels weird talking about King Charles now, but just Charles I. When I wrote that out, that explanation felt really messy. I spent quite a while, having finished binging the series, trying to work out why it didn't quite sit right with me, and then inevitably why I then had trouble summing up the series for this purpose. Could it be an ending problem again? The ending is so rushed. There is definitely an ending problem. The final episode goes like this. The king is dead. George's wife has a baby boy. Charles is crowned. Oh no, we're in a pub and somehow George is at war and not doing well. Oh, he's been stabbed and now he's dead. What? I know how we got here, but how did we get here? How did George get sent away to fight a war? One moment, Prince Charles is saying war might not be a good idea, considering England doesn't have a fleet. They have merchant ships and not much of an army. And boom! Suddenly we're at war and George is rubbish and now he's dead. What? Was the structure the problem? After the first few episodes, each episode springs forward into the future by at least a year. The series is 7 episodes long, which is an odd number. Usually these things are 6 or 8 episodes long, maybe 10. Is there an episode missing? Should there have been 8? Did they run out of budget and have to make a scrappy quick ending? Maybe. But as I thought on it further, I realised that wasn't really the problem I had with Mary and George. Yes, the ending is annoying, but it wasn't the main issue I had. Doing research into the historical facts, it's all there. I can see what the writers were working with. As I do my own research, I find myself falling down rabbit holes of earls and dukes and political alliances until my head is spinning, and I was only doing a quick glance of what really happened. Ultimately, Mary and George is a TV show that doesn't know what its story is, and that's why there's confusion at the end. Is this the story of George Villiers? That would make sense. The show starts with his birth and ends with his death. The main plot seems to be about his rise to power, how this kind boy turns into a manipulated and manipulative man corrupted by power. Or is it the story of Mary Villiers? That would also make sense. The first scene of episode 1 is her giving birth to George, and the final scene is her overlooking what's left of her family after his death. The main plot shows her manipulation, her greed, but also the love she's capable of and the horrors she's capable of. Of course, I hear you cry. The show is called Mary and George. Of course, it's about both Mary and George. But then, is it about the manipulation of powerful people? There were so many P's in that sentence. This is a theme that runs throughout the whole show. Manipulation, not P's. Using both George and Mary as centerpieces until the end, when we don't get to see the final cementing of George's manipulative relationship with the new King Charles. So maybe it isn't so much a story about the relationships George has with James and then Charles, even though that's also present throughout the show and makes for really interesting watching. On the other hand, there are a lot of bums in this show. There's a lot of sex. Even when it isn't called for as the show progresses, there are so many bums. So maybe it's also about the existence and secrecy of gay relationships in 17th century English aristocracy, which is also really interesting. Maybe Mary and George is just a dramatic version of what happened within this specific time frame. The truth is that, on paper, it can be about all of these things. And to some extent, it is. But as far as storytelling goes, it can't be about all of these things. It feels too much, especially as the series continues and the details become spaced out. Things start to feel rushed, suddenly things aren't making sense, and that's how you end up with that ending. So, the writing lesson here is about focus. It's not only story details, like why George is where he is when he gets killed, that get left out. It's also character development. We could have had so much more of specific characters if there had been more focus in the storytelling. And ultimately, that could have made the show much more satisfying to watch. Personally, I would have loved for the focus to be on George's relationship with James and Charles. The majority of it is already there. And it's fascinating. Mix it with the theme of manipulation and you have a full story. How this kind boy is manipulated into the king's court and then becomes the manipulator. How, as he realises King James will soon die, he must get Prince Charles on his side. And just how he does that. That was a great episode. A wonderful example of how manipulated George had become the manipulator, how much he'd learned from his mother, and how much he had left to learn. But also showing how easy both James and Charles were to charm and sway, because they'd been hurt and lost before. George gave them something to cling on to at different times in their lives, with very different types of relationships. Two different types of relationships that George managed to successfully cultivate. Which butted up against how bad George was at manipulating stronger people around him, such as Sir Francis Drake and the Spanish officials. Ah, see? All the themes are in there. They intertwine with one another. I can completely understand why the creators of this show did what they did. But that ending! If they'd ended it on Charles's coronation, or at the death of King James, or just given it that one last episode showing George's growing relationship with the new King Charles, how his personality takes a turn for the worse, how bad he is at war, how Charles gets him involved when he shouldn't have. At least then his death would have made more sense. This is a tricky one to unravel. There are so many good themes and points being made throughout the show, all with interesting characters. So what do you do when you have that much good material and only 7 episodes? Some things need to be cut. Honestly, personally, I'd have cut out a subplot. When it comes to historical research, when families were so big, it can be difficult to leave a character out. While the story of George's older brother John had points that drove Mary and George's stories, John's story wasn't told in full. And if taken out or mentioned briefly, perhaps it would have left space to give George a more developed ending. And when I say mentioned briefly, I mean John's violence and his forced wedding. We needed to see how horrific Mary could be when she thought she was doing the right thing for her child. But we didn't need the sex scandal caused by John's wife, the reasoning behind it, or her forced abortion. Horrific, yes, but we already know that Mary is capable of horrors. We saw that at the wedding. And all this did was develop a story that was never factually completed and took up more space that could have been given to George's ending. Sometimes we need to focus down and cut stuff out, even if it's good. It's where the term kill your darlings comes from. It's hard to drill down into something and leave out the rest of what's good and meaningful. But that also makes for a deeper, better, less rushed story. And a deeper story is the one that sticks with you long after the credits have rolled and the hero has been murdered. I don't want anyone to think I don't recommend watching Mary and George, because I do. I do recommend it. It's a good show. There's so much about the show that I loved. The acting, the subtle character development, the historic research that I ended up doing just as I was watching it. Did that really happen? Quick to Google. Oh, the beautiful settings. It's a great example of a show that had so much potential and very nearly hit it. Which doesn't make it bad. It just means it's a show I won't be rewatching, but I'm really glad I did watch it. But you can bet I'll be thinking about it still. As this week's Writing Lessons From proves, I'm still thinking about it, still mulling it over, still learning. And sometimes, as a storyteller, that's what makes a story great. Ba-ba-da-ba! I am still thinking about it. I am still like, what would I cut out? I don't know. What an impossible kind of thing. I don't even know how historic writers, fiction writers, like, what a massive job that is. My brain is so full of fluff. I can't. All the coherent thoughts are in there. They can't come out. I'm going to go. Have a lovely week, storytellers, and I will see you next time. Bye.